Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for all of our digital listeners tuning in today. Please open up your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, last week we finished the Lord's Prayer, and we are continuing our study of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I want to pay particular attention to the fact that Jesus has finished his example prayer. Because what he says before and what he says after are still linked to how we should be thinking, revolving around prayer. Now think in that manner as I read the first part of our text today. In Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are able to listen. I pray, Lord, that you would both work in their heart and in my heart, Lord God. I pray that you would use your Holy Spirit and to guide us and to help us to discern the scripture. I pray, Lord, that you would use your word today to change our hearts and our minds to reflect you a little bit more. Help us to understand you a little bit better. And help us, Lord, to understand what it is that you want us most to learn. We thank you that we have the complete scripture, both the Old and the New Testament. And we know that through your word, you've given us only what's most important for us to know. There is so much more that happened in Bible times that could be recorded in volume after volume of much bigger books than what we have for the Bible. But you've given us just what we need, which means that every piece of the scripture is important. Help us to realize how important our text is today and what that means to us in our lives moving forward. Thank you for this day. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Well, in our text today, Jesus is helping us to see value in the things that are most important. Now think about this for a moment. What is valuable to you? What is even most valuable to you? You know, what takes precedent over anything else? You know, the one thing that we often value in this world more than anything else is ourselves, our own wants and desires, our needs, our thoughts take precedent over any other. Consider the news of the day. Hamas attacking, murdering those in Israel. Not just Jews, though. Anyone they come in contact with. And why? Because they want what most pleases them over anything else. Now, you may not have the same goals in mind as Hamas, but you and I, in our natural state of sin, are in danger to commit whatever sinful acts we can as we consider putting ourselves first, as we consider what we want most. Now, this week I was reading from Romans chapter 15, and let me share with you the first few verses in that chapter. And I'm going to share with you from the New American Standard Bible because it gets right to the point. I like how it's phrased here in the text. So, Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 3 says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Now, verse 2 here, each of us is to please his neighbor for his neighbor's good and to his neighbor's edification. And a lot of people take this out of context and focus it to mean that I need to please my neighbor for my good and for my edification. But that's just not right. Now, you may say, well, I don't read it that way. That's not how I consider it. But the question is, how do you practice it? Because there may be those that say, well, I don't read it that way, but that's how they put it into practice. They start to do things for their neighbor, for their good. Even they go along with their neighbor. They help their neighbor. They encourage their neighbor. But once they get to a part where they're comfortable enough with what they've done, it's hands off and it's back on them for their good, for their own edification. Now, every one of the love one another passages in Scripture is about caring for someone else, about putting their needs before our own. And we need to be very careful that our very first treasure on this earth is not ourselves. And the danger of making ourselves first is that we put all our needs more important than anyone else. We put our wants as more important than anyone else. You know, everyone in the world, even their lives, lose value when my treasure is myself. You know, that means that I'm not going to be inclined to help someone else and even focus my prayers for someone else when I am the focus of my treasure. And that is a real danger and something to evaluate in your life. Do you seek to please yourself? Or do you seek to please others? Well, let's look back at our text. And let's consider this text and work on understanding what kind of value that Jesus is helping us with. Also remember that just like how in the prayer structure, Jesus puts God's will before our own will, so this reminder is in place to better help shift our focus from what we perceive in the world to be valuable to what Jesus considers to be of value. Now, when we are focused on what we can get, we tend to build an accumulation of stuff, and our hearts are set on what delights our eyes instead of what delights God. Now, we need to be cautious that we have the right mindset. Even thinking about our work, God provides the job that we need in order to pay our bills and prepare for what we need most. But sometimes we get absorbed by the money aspect, and we work and work and work and become consumed with something that God never meant for us to be consumed by. We need to be cautious that it isn't money or stuff that rules our world, but that it's God's leading and teaching through His Word. Jesus points out that age-old saying, you can't take it with you. You can build as much wealth as you want here on earth, but what good is it if you can't enjoy it for eternity? Besides, everything here on earth breaks down. It loses its value, or it can be stolen from you. Now notice in verse 20, that Jesus suggests to build treasure in heaven where it doesn't break down, it doesn't lose value, and no one steals it. Now, building our treasure in heaven is when we follow God in obedience and serve Him. And when we obey Him and we remain faithful to Him, all things that we were praying for earlier in the example prayer. Now, putting the talents and the gifts to work that God has given us by using them for His glory, build these treasures in heaven. And these treasures hold their value. Now, what holds its value here on earth? I remember years ago, my wife and I bought a new car. And the car salesman told us that if we take extra good care of that car, if we kept it washed regularly, if we were to get the oil changed and all of the regular maintenance performed on the car, we not only will have a well-running machine, but we will increase its value so that if we were to trade it in at some point in the future, we would get much more for it. Well, when trade-in time came, we learned a valuable lesson. The vehicle was not worth as much as we thought it would be. It had depreciated so much that the value we thought that we would be getting for it was not actually there. So it is with everything that we have here in life. The values change. Most things break down, changing their value. Even precious stones' value change based on the interest of them. Gold and silver are always fluctuating in value. We cannot count on anything to hold its value on this earth. Now, we recently discussed how sin brings limited pleasure. So does money here on earth. It never lasts, and it does not bring happiness or satisfaction or even real joy. For many, it alleviates a problem in the beginning, but it often leads to bigger problems. Now look with me at verse 21. Here it says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now our hearts are directly linked to whatever it is that we make most important. Wherever we put the bulk of our value. But what is the text saying by identifying our hearts? Is that talking about our physical hearts or what is it saying? Well, let's consider two other passages about the heart to get better clarification. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Now, this broadens what we may be talking about because we know that we think with our brain and not our heart. So what does this mean, thinking with our heart? Well, let's consider one more passage. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now, I chose each of these passages because they all correlate. Not just because they mention the heart, but that they are all three directly related. In all three of these instances, it does not seem like we are talking about the physical human heart. There must be another connection. So let's dig even a little bit deeper. Let's consider the original meaning and intent behind each one of these uses for the heart and see if you can identify a correlation. So Proverbs 23:7 again says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So heart here is taken from the Hebrew word that's pronounced nephesh. And it means the seat of appetites, the seat of emotions and passions, desires and activity of the will. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now, the heart here in Proverbs 4:23 is pronounced nev in the Hebrew. And it means the inner man, the will, the mind, the understanding, the emotions and passions, and the heart in regards to moral character and the conscience. Now in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In the Greek, this word is pronounced cardia, and it means the center of all physical and spiritual life, the thoughts, the passions, the desires, the appetites, the affections, the purposes, and the endeavors of the will and character. Now, when we put all three of those together, we get a better understanding as to what we're looking at for the heart. Now, these appetites are not an appetite like you're hungry for pie. These are our fleshly appetites, our natural desires. Our affections here are not a feeling towards another person, but they are things that we put our desires into the most. Now, let's consider these passages one more time. Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now, looking at the Greek word for treasure, it means the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. Now, we all have a different perspective on what we consider treasure. Now, there's that classic phrase that we tend to think of when we go to garage sales, where it's one man's junk is another man's treasure. Now, Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, be careful what you make precious to you and what you make your treasure. Because there are many things that we have a tendency to look at and say, I need this. This is precious to me. And yet many of these same things God may look at and consider junk. What are we making precious in our life? What are we making most important in our life? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 reminds us that whatever we make precious in life is what will consume us. And ultimately, we are going to set our sights on something. And as we think and meditate and focus on that thing, whatever it is, it could be a relationship, it could be a job, it could be an activity, it could be a particular mindset. But whatever it is, we will be driven to put our time and our efforts into what we make precious. And some things are not good altogether, and they bring us down, and they can negatively impact our relationship with others and even our relationship with the Lord. Now, some things are still good, but need to be considered in moderation, and we need to be careful that they do not consume us. And then some things are very good and worthy to be caught up in and fully focused on. We need to determine what is good for us and what is not. Now, the heart, the location of our desires, our emotions, our passions, and our focus of our endeavors, you know, our will and our character, that seat of appetites again, our heart is there. And what we choose in life, we choose through as we feel towards it. You know, we start off a lot of times thinking about it. We say, you know, I really want this, or I really desire this kind of thing. And then we let that move from our brain to our heart, or we might say to our core. And then our whole passion is focused on whatever this thing is that we feel like we need the most. Well, in verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 4, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. So be careful of this heart that is filled with all of these passions and desires and feelings, because out of it spring the issues of life. Because we need to be cautious that we're not just drinking in and taking in anything that we want. We need to make sure that we are looking at things in regard to how the Bible teaches us to look at things, in regard to how Jesus looked at things, in regards to how God considered these things. We need to not just let our hearts do the moving for us, or just follow your hearts. You know, there's that phrase, just follow your hearts or follow your dreams, but the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible tells us. So we need to be cautious to just let those things go and to allow our hearts to lead us down the right path. Now, the most important aspect in the Christian life is that nothing become more important or more precious to us than our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that may mean that we put safeguards in place to prevent that from ever happening. And I think all too often, we just callously assume that we will never let that happen. But the reality is that we don't make provision to protect something like that from ever happening. And I'll tell you today, I know of many, many people who are not living for the Lord who just a few years ago said, I will never let anything get in the way of my relationship with God. I've heard from so many Christian parents that allowed their child to play a sport through school, and then the practices or the games met on Sunday, and when faced with should we go to church, to worship, or should we go to the game, there are so many that choose the game. And then you know what happens after that. The family and the parents go with the child, so everyone makes the sport more important. And commonly, the two biggest excuses that I hear is that, number one, if they miss any of the games, they won't be allowed to be on the team, or they'll have to sit the bench. And number two, they made a commitment, and they need to honor it, which is ironic because what happened to their first commitment to honor and obey the Lord? Now, my question is here, where is their treasure? I've heard from so many Christian adults that they have to work so much that they cannot take a day to honor the Lord. I mean, they wish they could, but for whatever reason, they just can't afford it. And the further they put God on the back burner, the easier it is for them to stop all of their communication with God. These same people, when I ask what their daily relationship is with the Lord, it is stagnant. It is even non-existent because what they make most important in their life consumes them. You know, I've even seen this times where people desire a certain job. Sometimes they'll go to college for that specific job, or sometimes they see a specific job in life and they say, hey, I'd be really good at that. I'd love that job. But once they're locked into it and it meets on Sundays, they have to work through Sundays. It doesn't matter because it's their dream job. And what often is our thought is, it's okay, I'll make up for it later. You know, I'll just have to work a little bit right now here on Sundays through church and through all the times that I would normally be worshiping God or fellowshipping with God. And it may take some of the time through my devotional life and so on, but that's just a temporary thing. And then soon I'm going to get back into worshiping God again. And what happens is it pulls them away from the Lord. And the more and more that they get away from the Lord, the less and less that they even think about Him. The question is, where is their treasure? I've heard still from many different people about how they honor God on their own terms. They worship Him their own way while they live life in the manner that best suits them, because they are more interested in what delights them in the moment than what honors God. Where is their treasure? Now, we need to be so very careful where we put our thoughts and our desires and allow ourselves to be consumed with the Lord over anything else. We need to especially be careful that we are not getting caught up in something that prevents or minimizes our relationship with God. Now, looking again at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I want to continue in this passage a little bit. So thinking back on 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, keep your passions, your desires, your heart means to guard them. Be very careful with them. Diligently guard them because it is from them that present the issues of our lives. And we need to be cautious with what is on our hearts because that transfers to our very lips. And we need to keep our eyes looking straight in front of us instead of being caught up by all the shiny things that the world has to offer. You know, the things that distract us from what God has called us to. We need to be careful to the words and to the philosophies and the advice that we listen to. Where is it coming from? Is it founded in God's word or is it a worldly philosophy? You know, we need to ponder the path that we walk. In other words, we need to be very careful where we are walking, where we are allowing ourselves to go, where we put our passions, where we put our focus. Don't turn to the world for your problems and remove your foot from evil. Don't let the world consume you. Don't make anything in this life your treasure over the love of God, over the obedience to God, or the following of God's will. Now let's continue with this same thought in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to pick up on verse 22. Jesus says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now thinking about the eye, the National Eye Institute explains it this way. They say, when light hits the retina, a light-sensitive layer of tissue at the back of the eye, special cells called photoreceptors turn the light into electrical signals. Now, these electrical signals travel from the retina through the optic nerve to the brain. Then the brain turns the signals into the images you see. But it all starts with light coming into the eye. Now, just to clarify, Jesus was not teaching us a science lesson, okay? He was giving an analogy about spiritual light and spiritual darkness. When you bring in the good things, especially the godly things, your whole body is full of light. However, when you bring in the bad things, especially the ungodly things, your whole body is full of darkness. Now remember, one chapter back in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives us another illustration of the light in verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lamp stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Now let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now the more that we take in God's word, the more that we live obedient to Him, the more that we value our time with Him, the more His light fills us from the inside out. However, the more that we take value in the things that God does not, the more that we look to achieve value in the world, the less our lives are filled with God's light. And when our focus switches from God to the world, we do not fill in light, but we fill it with darkness. Now be very careful how much darkness you bring from the world. As Christians, we need to guard against the darkness and even measure how much darkness we are bringing in opposed to how much light we bring in. You know, just as we can have a bright light within us, so the darkness that fills us can be equally dark that consume us. I'll give you a challenge this week. Write this down. When you approach something in life, whether it's something that you're putting before your eyes, whether it be a picture or a video or something you are reading or really anything, whether it's something that you're listening to or whether it's something that you are even tasting or touching, ask yourself this: is this darkness or is this light? Now, our common response to this is typically, "This doesn't affect me. I don't have a problem with this. You know, someone else enjoys this, so I can enjoy it too." And that's because we tend to justify something that we like. We push out of our brains that there could be anything wrong with it because we absolutely want to do it. But instead of beginning with the justifications, we need to begin with asking ourselves, does this honor God? Does this draw me closer to God? How will this help my light to shine brighter? And don't get me wrong here. These are not easy questions to ask ourselves, okay? But they are important questions to ask. Because ultimately, the point is for us to be putting our thoughts in the place so that we can have that bright light that God calls us to have. Ultimately, we are to be filling ourselves with that bright light. And so often we just drink and drink and drink in so much from the world, and we don't even think about all the things that we are consuming through our eyes and through our ears of what the world is teaching and what the world is calling good. And we will even justify it, you know, when we we'll watch a movie or something and we'll say, well, it's good versus evil and good wins in the end, therefore it's full of light. But the film that we may be watching is full of such deep darkness that it has no light in it. Just because good wins over evil doesn't mean that there is anything of any great nutritional value in it for our hearts. Any light that we may be bringing in, the best light that we can get is God's light, which means the best light that we can get are things that come directly from God, things from His Word, encouragements, not the darkness that the world continues to provide. Well, let's finish today with verse 24. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, the common reading of this verse finds that you can't make two things the most important. One thing will always dominate the other. There are many, even in the Christian life, that try to ride the line between what the world can offer and what God can offer. But ultimately, their passions will either be absorbed by one or the other. Now, there are many that try to have what we would call the best of both worlds, but it never works out. One side will always pull more than the other. One side will always demand more attention. Now, Jesus wasn't giving us a lesson on common devotion. And he was also not helping us to better understand our disciplines for what thing in life will outweigh the other. Jesus is pointing us to the heart of the matter. He is asking us, what is more valuable? What is more valuable to you? The word mammon here in verse 24 is from the Aramaic. Now, in your translation, it might say money or wealth or riches, but the term is not limited to money. Mammon is anything that we give value to, that we trust in. You know, Jesus is pointing to the fact that the item in this world that we place our trust in the most cannot be anything other than God. Because if we put our trust in something else, then we are loving something outside of our devotion to God. And that other love will pull at us, and it will distract us from our first love. Anything that pulls us away from our first love and our devotion to God must be removed from our life. Otherwise, it will eventually take the place of our devotion to God. And think about it this way. Imagine a newly married couple, and we'll call them Joe and Janet. So Joe and Janet are in love. They just got married. They move into their new home, and they are setting up the house together, and Janet sets a picture of her husband on her side table right next to the bed. And right next to that picture, she places a photo of an old boyfriend. Now, how do you think Joe is going to feel about that? Janet's devotion is to be on her husband, not on anything or anyone else. She cannot split her love between two people. She committed to her husband. Why is she even opening space in her heart for this other person? Jesus' relationship to the church, to gospel believers, is described in the Gospels as Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride. We are to have devotion to Him. We are to have value Him more than anything or anyone else in our lives. We are to sacrifice our wants and our desires for His wants and His desires, not leave space in our heart to place that devotion elsewhere. We are to be committed to Him more than we are committed to anything or anyone else. Our treasure needs to be God. We need to treasure our great God over anyone or anything else on this earth. Now, what do you value most in life? Let's close in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this week to understand what we value. Help us to look at our lives, and as we question each aspect of our life. Help us to look at it in a way that we understand where our value is. Do we value you as much as we think we do? Help us, Lord, to realize where we set our sights. Help us to guard our hearts, to guard our minds. Help us also to bring in your light over the world's darkness. Help us, Lord, not to drink in so much of this world, but instead drink in your light. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us your understanding. Give us your knowledge, Lord God. I pray that as we dig into your word, as we continue our commitment to you, that you would help us to fulfill that commitment. Give us your strength this week. And I pray, Lord God, that we would do our best to live for you. In your name I pray these things. Amen.